Last week we talked about the goodness of God, and we explained how God is good to all of his creatures. We explained how he's good to the unbeliever, and we also looked at how God was, of course, good to the believer. And we said that, his goodness does not change, doesn't falter, doesn't end, doesn't change. He's perfectly good all the time in all things. And today we're going to move into chapter 12 of A.W. Pink's Attributes of God to discuss the patience of God. We've all seen bumper stickers about patience. One is patience is a virtue. We've seen other ones, or I've seen the other ones that are a little bit more humorous. One was, I wish I was as thin as my patience. Another one it's a good one for the new year, right? Another one I've seen is, I want patience and I want it now. So we've seen different humorous things about that. It really is indeed an attribute of God that we really don't hear that much about. And indeed, not as much is written about this attribute as others. And so we might be prone to not value it, if I could put it that way, to not value it as much as the other attributes. But listen to what Pink writes, and this is on the top of your handout. Far less has been written upon this and the other excellencies of the divine character. True, the actual term will not be found in a concordance as frequently as the others, but the glory of this grace itself shines forth on almost every page of Scripture. Certain it is that we lose much if we do not frequently meditate upon the patience of God and earnestly pray that our hearts and ways may be more completely conformed thereto. It's an important attribute to consider and to think through and to think about how do we apply this attribute to our lives. Well, I don't have to tell you guys, because we're in it, that we live in a culture that thrives on instant gratification, which really perpetuates our impatience as individuals. You know, usually when you see a fast food restaurant go up, how many drive-thrus are put in? Two. Probably be a day coming where we see three. It continues. When we get impatient and we're stopped in traffic or at a red light, what are we prone to do? Pull out our horn, yeah. Or, I didn't say that, somebody else did. No. Pull out our smartphone, right, and check the email or check the text messaging. We get emails not only on computer now, but also on our phones and even on our watches. You can download and stream TV shows and movies in instants, instantaneously almost. Does anybody remember dial-up internet? Do y'all remember that? We were camping last year, and we ran across an old payphone booth. I had to tell my kids what that was used for, other examples of impatience, we use self-checkout lines in grocery stores. We try the one-weekend diet. We honk when the light turns green. We abbreviate our words and even use emojis in texting now. Even when we could speak it, we still do this little abbreviation stuff in texting. Now, I'm not saying these things are wrong. Don't get me there. Because I'm guilty of being impatient, and I think many of us are, okay? These are not necessarily things that are wrong. It's just what we've become accustomed to as individuals. You can go to a nearby theme park and pay an extra $35 a ticket to get a fast pass so you don't have to wait in line. When we were last there, it was very tempting for me to do so until I did the math on it. Then I realized if I did that, we couldn't eat for a week. In Boston, this is one city where Amazon same delivery is available. You actually can place your order on Amazon by 11 a.m., and if you pay an extra $8.99 plus 99 cents per item, you can have that same item that day delivered to your house. So this is just where we're at in our culture. One researcher was fascinated with how long people sit at a computer to wait on a video to download. So here's what he did. He examined the viewing habits of 6.7 million internet users. And how long do you think people were willing to wait for the video to upload?
2 minutes.
No, 2 seconds. 2 seconds. So after 5 seconds, the abandonment rate was 25%. After 10 seconds, 50% were gone. So 2 seconds. So this is, again, this is the culture we live in. And this, again, it really perpetuates, though, our impatience. God, however, is not impatient. If I could use a double negative there. He is perfectly patient all the time. And I don't know about you, but I need more than 10 seconds to ask for forgiveness, right? So I'm glad he is patient with me. Indeed, he's patient with all of us. He has unlimited patience. And, you know, if we think about the word patient, it's the quality or virtue that's really being characterized biblically as forbearance or long-suffering. It's a quality of self-restraint, of not giving way to anger, even in the face of provocation. It's attributed to both God and man, and it's closely related to mercy and compassion. So we're going to look at this in three different areas. One is we're going to look at the patience of God. We're going to look at the patience of our incarnate Lord through his son Jesus while on earth. And then we're going to conclude by looking at practical application for us. What difference does this make in our lives? Well, first of all, we need to look no further in Scripture than to look at Genesis when we see God's patience in dealing with man. You know, we see Adam and Eve in the garden, and he provided not only great grace to them, but also patience. It's written, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" And of course, this points to Jesus who would come, right? This is where salvation actually is spoken of for the very first time in Scripture, which is in Genesis 3, 14 and 15. So the idea is that God, in his impatience, could have, and he's not impatient, but if he was, he could have banished them from the garden and forgotten them, but instead, in his graciousness and in his patience, he provided hope for them, didn't he? He provided a future for them in the promised Savior to come. We also see God's patience in dealing with the corruption of mankind in Noah's day. We read in 1 Peter 3:20, "When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared." And if you look through Scripture, you actually see, particularly in Genesis 6, that God waited 120 years before the time he pronounced the flood would come and the time the flood came before he wiped out mankind. 120 years. That's longer than the average life of man, certainly in today's time. And so he caused this time to linger, exercising great patience. We saw God's patience in dealing with the Israelites. We really saw it with them, didn't we? They murmured, they complained. Pink writes, "First he suffered their manners for 40 years in the wilderness," Acts 13:18. "Later, when they entered Canaan but followed the evil customs of the nations around them and turned to idolatry, though God chastened them sorely, he did not utterly destroy them." He was patient with them. He's patient with us. And God is certainly patient with our world. Harry Reeder writes, "In the exercise of his common grace, God displays patience and forbearance with the world." Now, we discussed the idea. It really piggybacks on what we talked about last week with common grace. Even the unbeliever, everybody walks outside, and you can't help but see God's, if I could put it this way, his handprint throughout all creation, right? We see the moon and the stars. We see the trees and the flowers and the grass and the winds and the seasons change and the rain comes. And you can't help but think about God who created all that. That's God's common grace shown to our world. He is indeed patient with the unbeliever in allowing him to experience his common grace. But also he's patient with the unbeliever in allowing him to enjoy things in life, like marriage, like family, different aspects of work and life. There was a political activist and atheist in England in the 1800s named Charles Bradlaugh. Now, he was known all over the country for his lectures on atheism. And he was known specifically at the end of his talk for saying this. He would pull out the stopwatch from his pocket, and he would hold it up, and he would challenge God, whom he rejected, by saying, "If you exist, then smite me dead in the next minute." Well, after which time, after that 60 seconds was up, he would say to the crowd, "What type of God is this who can't smite me down for my anti-God beliefs?" Well, one reverend, one pastor, Jeff Thomas, commenting on this, writes, "We have a militant atheist movement in our land today, and writers who challenge and mock any faith in God, but those men live and move and have their being and their breath in His hands, and He is showing them, this is God is showing them, wonderful patience, and He heaps His blessings on their lives. He gives them many, many opportunities to fall before Him and serve Him in new life. This is the incomparable patience of God. He knows, or He shows all manner of patience to the people whose sin He hates, to those He knows, and yet to those who provoke Him." This is God's patience shown to the unbeliever. What about to us? Is He patient to you? Yes. He certainly is patient to the unbeliever. And thankfully, His patience is unconditional. Are you always patient with Him? No. But see, His patience is not dependent upon whether you're being patient with Him. His patience is dependent upon the very nature of Himself, and He cannot cease to be patient. Praise God for that. We see many examples not only of God being patient through Scripture, but also Jesus being patient. We see Him being patient with His mother, who wanted Him to come back to Nazareth and not carry on with preaching and healing. We see Him being patient with Peter, who denied Him three times. We see Jesus being patient with doubting Thomas. We see Him being patient even with the ones who crucified Him, saying, "Father, they really don't know what they are doing." We even see Jesus' patience, as Matthew would describe it in his gospel, on the Hill of Ascension, where he tells of Jesus' own disciples were still doubting all that they had seen and heard of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and yet still the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of them, even those that doubted. What patience God has and shows toward us. Well, if we look at Scripture and we think of someone apart from Jesus who showed great patience, who would you say that was? Yeah, we often hear the patience of Job. Now, why was it ascribed to Job that he was a patient man?
He never renounced the Lord during his suffering?
Never renounced the Lord in his suffering, indeed. So this is a man that lost everything, right? He lost all of his children, all of his wealth in one day. He was covered in painful sores. His wife offered no support. She basically said to give up, curse God, and die. Those are pretty harsh words, so much for being a helpmate in a time of need, right? She was not. Even his friends falsely accused him of wrongdoing and blamed his troubles on unrepentant sin. And yet, through it all, Job patiently endured. It's written in Job 2:10, "But he said to her," that's his wife, "you speak as one of those foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil?" And all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. So this is a good example of a man who endured much trial and yet was patient with God, receiving what God had for him at the moment, and was also patient with others. But we began the class by looking at examples of our impatience as a society and individuals. And we may laugh at these, and we may be prone to think about patience in a very cavalier way. I'm not a very patient person. It's just who I am. But this attribute of God is a communicable attribute, which means that it can be and should be ascribed to that of a Christian. So it's no excuse to say, "Oh, I'm just not a patient person." Well, no, this is an attribute that we can work on with the help of the Holy Spirit to become more patient in our dealings with others. Well, let me humbly suggest that we submit, that we need to submit and need to be patient in at least two areas. One is patient with others, and two is patient with God. First of all, we need to be patient with others. Paul writes in Colossians 3:12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Again, in Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what do you see? What are some other attributes or adjectives that go along with patience here? We see things like humility, gentleness, love. So if you have humility, gentleness, love, and patience, then what's the result of that going to be? Unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. But the opposite's also true. If you're proud and you're harsh and you're unloving and you're impatient, there will not be harmony. There'll be a lack of peace in many of your relationships. So let us put on patience as a way to show Christ to others. Now, this includes, practically speaking, it includes being patient with one another in marriage. We talk about sometimes the wife not being ready on time. Men need to be patient with her, okay? It includes being patient with our children. Sometimes we get bombarded, or oftentimes we get bombarded with questions from our children. Sometimes it's the same question, all on the same day. Let's be patient with them. It includes being patient when you get cut off in traffic. It includes being patient with your boss or with your subordinates. It includes being patient with your coworkers. It includes being patient with aging parents who need your help in making decisions. It includes being patient with those who are grieving. It includes being patient with those who are at a different stage or level or area of sanctification than you are. Patience is important. So let us, and we have to look to the supreme example of patience, who is Christ, who it was said displayed his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe him for eternal life, 1 Timothy 1:16. Well, we've seen how we need to be patient with others. How are we doing with our attitude toward God? Are we patient with him? Let me encourage you to turn in your Bibles as we look at this more to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. And look in the last two verses of Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verses 12 and 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. The psalmist is really, throughout all of Psalm 39, really questioning God, asking a lot of questions, going through a very difficult time. And then God answers his prayer in the very next chapter. Look at Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. The language there is great. We could spend a whole week talking about those three verses, but let's spend a few minutes at least. Let's look at this. So, this psalmist was going through a hard time. He was in a time of despair, perhaps a time of depression, but yet he waited patiently for the Lord. Now, when you think about miry bog, what is that? What does that describe? It's like a muddy swamp. And so literally, you know, when you're walking through a swamp, your feet, you step and your foot sinks down in the mud, making it very difficult to lift it out and take another step. So is our lives at times, right? When we are weighted down by life's struggles. Maybe it's we're weighted down by our own lack of progress in sanctification. Maybe we're weighted down by finances. Maybe we're weighted down by our jobs. Maybe we're weighted down by relationships. Well, we take that step and we just get stuck in the mud, so to speak. And it's very, very hard to keep going, isn't it? But yet, look at what the psalmist did. He waited patiently on the Lord while he was stuck in the mud. And who delivered him? He drew me up from the pit of destruction. See, he couldn't rescue himself, but God rescued him. And in like manner, God rescues us from the miry bog, from the muddy swamp. And when our feet were slipping and hard to move, he puts our feet back on steady ground. So now, with the Spirit's help, we're making progress again. How many of y'all have gone through that before? Haven't we all? And when you come out of that, it's almost like you feel like you're normal again. Like, oh, I can breathe again, and I can live life again. You're not so weighted down. And then what's the purpose of it? Well, notice the purpose in verse 3. Let's just read it again for effect. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So realize one of the purposes of trials and getting stuck in the miry bog is that we will come out and we will praise him for what he's done, and that others will see Christ lived out in our lives. For many will come and praise him and see the goodness of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Well, all of you raised your hands when I asked the question, right? Have you been stuck before? Those were probably also times where you've seen God be very patient with you as you have waited patiently on him. So take a minute or two at your tables and just share a life example of where God was very patient to you and what you learned from that. Then we'll come back and conclude. All right, let's break from that. Does anybody care to share from your table? Probably had time for one person to share.
Our comment was, when is God not patient?
Right.
Yeah.
So specifics are hard.
Yes, they can be. You know, and you think about the attributes of God, that's how they are. When is he not good? When is he not faithful? When is he not merciful? When is he not patient? He is all the time, right? Anybody want to share?
One thought I had, we were talking about just standing in the line, sometimes you get impatient because things aren't going, but we have to acknowledge God's sovereignty, the fact that I'm standing there for a purpose, and maybe there's something I need to be doing while I'm standing here. And not be so about, well, hurry up and move on, just relax and talk to people around you and
right.
Back up a conversation. Maybe there's something to there's a purpose for that. So
indeed.
Acknowledge his sovereignty in all things, except we can't do that in traffic. That's the hard
part. It is hard. And yet God's sovereign over traffic too, right? He's allowed that to happen.
I've learned also that you got to really be careful when you ask for patience. Because he's not going to just make you patient. He's going to put something in your life that causes you to have to be patient. And I mean, I've seen that so many times, wake up in the morning and pray for it, and then the day goes on and it's just like, one thing right after the other, and I go, okay, this is what I prayed for, so thank you,
Jesus. You know, I've heard it often said from people, and probably you have too, don't pray for patience, all right, because God's going to send you through a deep trial. Well, let us not shy away from that which God would have us be, right? Remember, the Christian is to be patient, should be patient. Are we going to do it perfectly? No. But let us, in our own sanctification, as we grow closer to him, become more patient, that others may see the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord Jesus in our lives, in everyday life. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your attributes. We thank you that they have eternally existed before all time, just as you have. Father, we thank you that you are perfectly patient with the world that you created, with the unbeliever, and Father, with us. We thank you, Father, that your patience toward us as believers is not dependent upon our patience toward you. But, oh God, would you make us more patient? Help us to be more patient in our homes, with our spouse, with our children. Help us to be more patient at work. Help us to be more patient with others in the church. And help us to be more patient with you. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives and that you would reign in our lives in a way that others would see Christ in us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.